A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God fashioned man of dust from the soil. Then he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and thus man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden in Eden, which is in the east, and there he put the man he had fashioned. The Lord God caused to spring up from the soil every kind of tree, enticing to look at and good to eat, with the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. The serpent was the most subtle of all the wild beasts that the Lord God had made. It asked woman, "Did God really say you were not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but not of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden." God said, "You must not eat it, nor touch it, under pain of death." Then the serpent said to the woman, "No, you will not die. God knows, in fact, that on the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil." The woman saw that the tree was good to eat and pleasing to the eye, and it was desirable for the knowledge that it could give. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. She gave some also to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together to make themselves loin clothes. The word of the Lord.
Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned.
Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Oh, wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin.
Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we have sinned.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Sin entered the world through one man, and through sin death, and thus death has spread through the whole human race, because everyone has sinned. Sin existed in the world long before the law was given. There was no law, and so no one could be accused of the sin of law breaking. Yet death reigned over all from Adam to Moses, even through their sin. Unlike that of Adam, was not a matter of breaking a law. Adam prefigured the one to come, but the gift itself considerably outweighed the fall. If it is certain that through one man fall so many died, it is even more certain that divine grace, coming through the one man, Jesus Christ, came to so many as obedient free gift. The results of the gift also outweighed the results of one man's sin. For after one single fall came judgment with a verdict of condemnation. Now, after many falls, comes grace with its verdict of acquittal. If it is certain that death reigned over everyone as a consequence of one man's fall, it is even more certain that one man, Jesus Christ, will cause everyone to reign in life who receives the free gift that he does not deserve of being made righteous. Again, as one man falls, brought condemnation on everyone, so the good act of one man brings everyone's life and makes them justified. As by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's disobedience many will be made righteous. This is the word of Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, after which he was very hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to turn into loaves." But he replied, "Scripture says, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The devil then took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for scripture says, he will put you in his angels' charge, and they will support you on their hands in case you hurt your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, scripture also says, you must not put the Lord your God to the test. Next, taking him to a very high mountain, the devil allowed him all the kingdoms. The devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. I will give you all these, he said, if you fall at my feet and worship me. Then Jesus replied, be off, Satan, for scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Then the devil left him, and angels appeared and looked after him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in the beginning, the world was perfect because God made it, and God makes everything perfect. Everything was perfect. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and life was very good, very beautiful. You all know this story. There were lots of fruit, and they can eat any of them except one. If they eat that fruit, they will die. We might want to ask God why he even made that fruit. God might ask us where we were when he was creating the universe. God does not need to explain himself, and we probably would not understand him if he did. It was completely reasonable for there to be one tree out of a whole garden that was not meant for eating. Let us not try to pass the blame around here. So what happens next? Eve was deceived into thinking that she should eat the fruit on the tree that was not meant for eating. And so she ate it. Then she gave some even to Adam. Adam was not deceived. He knew that eating the fruit would lead to death. So why did he eat it? Probably seeing that Eve had already eaten the fruit and would therefore die, he also decided to throw in his fate with hers and ate as well. Sounds like the original story of Romeo and Juliet. Whether he was afraid of life without Eve or afraid for her and what she would suffer, he decided to go with her into sin. And this was a mistake. When we think about all the evil in the world from his time until now, Adam's romantic gesture seems kind of stupid act. God had made the world perfect, and up to that point, the world was perfect. And through this mistake, death came into the world. It was like throwing a hammer into perfect clockwork. Death was not a punishment by God. The world was no longer perfect. Cain will kill Abel. Even those who are not killed will die as a result of their bodies breaking down. The error having been made, death just comes right into the world. Adam was supposed to be the king of the world. So when he sinned and let death into the world, death reigned through him. Adam was up here in the Garden of Eden. When Eve fell, maybe there would have been some way to help her back up. But when he jumped down after her, there was no chance. Adam and Eve were both down in imperfection now, and so are all their children, including each one of us. It is only logical that if the parents fall, the children whom they have after the fall will be down where their parents are. We all have to live now down in imperfection because we have no way to get back up to perfection. From Adam until Moses, people were killing each other, committing adultery, lying, coveting, stealing, worshipping false gods, and they were unhappy. We were not made to live in imperfection. When God gave Moses the law, people still did all those things, but now they knew what was making them unhappy. The law is like turning on the light in a filthy room. The light cannot clean the room, but at least we know where all those smells are coming from. We need something that can get us back up to perfection. No one on earth can do this because we all of us on earth are imperfect. Even when God flooded the earth and only Noah and his family came through, the sin came through with them. Even though Noah was a righteous man, he was not perfect. The solution is a perfect man, and the only solution is Jesus Christ. We see in the gospel today that Jesus is indeed perfect. Satan gives him three chances or sets three plots to lead him to error, but Jesus does not fall for them. These were some serious temptations. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. There is an understatement. Fasting for 40 days is going to make a person not just hungry, but very hungry. And then comes the crafty temptation. Turn these stones into bread. Jesus knows that he can do it too, but he does what is right and continues fasting. And then Jesus is standing on top of the tallest tower in Jerusalem, and comes again the second temptation. Throw yourself down, the angels will catch you. Jesus too knew that they would. He could do it just for the fun of it or to see if it was true, but he does not. And finally, Jesus is on top of a very high mountain. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you everything you see, says the crafty tempter. Dear friends, what would you do for $1,000,000? What would you do for all the power and riches in this world? Would you worship Satan? I mean, if it was a real offer, would you not? But the truth is, we worship him for less all the time. We worship him every time we sin, but Jesus does not. Jesus, by his obedience, conquered death and took his rightful place as King of the world. He can now offer the free gift of grace to anyone. Through Adam, death entered the world. Through Jesus, life entered the world. But the free gift is not like the fall. If Jesus just brought us back to perfection, just undid the fall, we would sin again, fall again. The solution of God is greater than the mistakes of men. Jesus Christ is going to reign, and he is going to reign forever. He will never fall, he will never fail. He is perfect forever. We do not want to reign ourselves, we want to reign through him. He reigns, and we, by receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of justice, become united to him. Jesus is the head, we are the body. So long as he is perfect, we get to reign, and he is always going to be perfect. No matter how imperfect we are, Jesus is still perfect. He is like the superstar who can take this rugged team of nobodies to the championship. My dear brothers and sisters, we just need to be united to Jesus. We need to be on his team. This can only be done by Jesus himself. He is the perfect one. Only he can rescue us by his grace and his free gift. We, for our part, have to receive the gift. We have to despise the imperfections around us. We have to despise the imperfections within us, like Jesus does in the gospel today. We have to let our desire for perfection rule our lives. Whatever is holding us down here, we will have to give up. Dear friends, are you dissatisfied with this world? Do you want more out of life? Well then, during this holy season of Lent, we can cut every chain that holds us to this world and cling to Jesus instead. And soon, we shall have the experiential assurance of truly being the partakers of the great life that the Lord wins for us on the Easter day.